there, this is Billy Myers, and you're listening to This Show Is So Gay. Oh my God, you look so good for being 100. And remember, why be gay when you can be just, well, so gay? Okay, darling, happy 100th birthday. Bye.
Hi, this is Athena Reck, and you're listening to the 100th show of This Show Is So Gay. I'm a singer-songwriter out of New York City, a Music Award winner for 2009 for Outstanding Pop Song of the Year for Love Is Love, and I'm just saying, why be gay when you can be so gay? Hey there, this is Claire Buffy, Miss New York 2010, and you're listening to This Show Is So Gay. As we celebrate 100 shows, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
That's right, everybody. It is Wednesday, October the 27th, 2010. You are not just listening to This Show Is So Gay. You are listening to the 100th This Show Is So Gay. I am Ken. I have all these amazing past guests who have recorded messages. We'll be playing them all night long. And very, very special guest tonight, Judy Shepherd, the best possible guest I could have had on our 100th show. It's exactly who I wanted, and she's going to be on a little bit later, and we're going to chat about everything that's going on in the world. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay on WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. I'm also broadcasting with pride worldwide on QNation.fm, hanging out over on clickclickexposed.com, freethoughtradio.com, and as always, broadcasting happily on Grateful Dread Public Radio. We're going to jump to some different stories in today's news. What I have decided to do for the 100th show is to focus all of our stories right on education. That is my passion. That has always been my passion. So what's going on in education with regard to our fellow gays? Well, the big story that everybody is talking about right now is all about Clint McCants. Have you heard of Clint McCants? A lot of you have heard of Clint McCants. Arkansas school board member Clint McCants, that's M-C-C-A-N-C-E. Well, gosh, he is a board member in the Midland School District in western Arkansas. Responding to a call to wear purple last Wednesday to support LGBT youth, this is what Clint McCants wrote on his Facebook page, and I quote, "Seriously, they want me to wear purple because five queers killed themselves? The only way I'm wearing it for them is if they all commit suicide. I can't believe the people of this world have gotten this stupid. We are honoring the fact that they sinned and killed themselves because of their sin. Really, people." End quote. I say end quote to distinguish between where Clint McCants stops and where Ken Schneck begins. This is an Arkansas school board member. He got challenged on it, and then they were writing back and forth, and then he further wrote, quote, "I would disown my kids if they were gay." I think I actually added some grammar in there for him, just trying to help Clint McCants. "They will not be welcome at my home or in my vicinity. I will absolutely run them off. Of course my kids will know better. My kids will have solid Christian beliefs. See, it infects everyone." And he goes on to say things about AIDS and they should all kill themselves. And again, let's end quote to distinguish where he stops and I start. Now, there's a Facebook group in response to all of this. 3 hours after The Advocate published a story on him, a Facebook page started up urging the Midland School Board to fire him. Now, last night, again, within 3 hours or 4 hours, it had 5,000 members. I just checked a few seconds ago. It's getting right close to 30,000 members in about 24 hours. So this is what everyone's talking about. And you know me. You've listened to the show before. You know that I'll read the articles, but all the drama's going down in the comment section. I'm all about the comment section. I think that's really the bellwether of our country. It's in the comment section. So I was really interested by some of the comments that were out there on the story, and the ones that I was most intrigued by were those that were questioning, why is this story getting coverage? And I wrote one of them. One of the commenters wrote, quote, "Why are we giving this guy a voice in our outlets?" I kind of got that for a couple seconds, and then that's just not my thing. We don't want totally sanitized news media where we're only covering the happy, happy things that are happening in the gay community. I don't know, you know, that we could fill that every single day, though there are amazing things happening, including the 100th episode of this show, So Gay. But it is so, so critically important that we do shine a light on folks that are in positions of power, certainly Clint McCants, who is on a school board, not some random citizen, on a school board. It's important that we put that out there so that we know, okay, there are people that think this, and let's address that. And great, let's rail against it and go nuts. Let's get 30,000 people in 24 hours to join a Facebook group urging him to get fired. If we didn't give these stories their due, we really wouldn't know what we're dealing with, and we would craft policy and we would craft action that wouldn't go over as well as it could if we didn't know what everyone in the community thinks. Are we validating Clint McCants? No, we are not. Are we giving him some national media to get his platform across? No, we're pretty much giving him some media so that we can say, oh, not good. Not good. In happy news, though, kind of happy news, it's a better ending. It continues to get better for Constance McMillan, the Mississippi school district that canceled the high school prom because Constance McMillan wanted to bring her girlfriend and wear a tuxedo. They have now been ordered to pay Constance $81,000 in legal fees. U.S. District Judge Glenn H. Davidson signed the order this past Monday, mandating the Itawamba County School District to pay the fees to McMillan. According to court documents, the school district must pay her about $67,000 in attorney fees, $14,000 for other legal expenses. She was represented by the ACLU. If you recall, back in March, the school board initially rejected her request to bring her girlfriend as a date. A judge ruled that officials could not block McMillan and her date from attending the prom. So, obviously and naturally, they canceled the prom. So they are paying her a nice chunk of money to reimburse her for all those legal fees. She is currently a freshman at a community college in Memphis, Tennessee. I see her popping up in the news in just the greatest ways. I saw her at the GLAAD event online, and I know that she was one of the grand marshals of the New York City Pride Parade, along with tonight's guest, Judy Shepherd. I'm so excited to talk to her. So we're going to be playing music tonight from an amazing artist named Randy Driscoll. And she has a song that's really special to the Matthew Shepherd Foundation, but all of her other music is quite fantastic as well. So this is a song called Angel in Chelsea. Enjoy.
There's an angel in Chelsea. She lives right above me. You hardly ever hear her, except when it is snowing. She keeps the windows wide open. She likes the sounds out on the street. The cars go rushing by, the night turns into day. She climbs into bed, and I hear somebody say, go on and cry. There's a battle ahead, but without the darkness, you could not see. The snow to fall right in. as it falls onto her feet. She sees it melt away. She climbs under the sheets, and I hear the same voice say, not see the light. Go on and cry, 'cause as bad as it gets, you haven't lost me yet. You couldn't if you tried.
Wanting to wish you a fabulous 100th show for This Show Is So Gay. Congratulations, and remember, why be just gay when you can be so gay? Love you guys. Be good.
Hey, you guys. This is singer-songwriter Daniel Gray. I just wanted to congratulate This Show Is So Gay on 100 episodes. Keep up the great work, you guys, and keep spreading the love. And remember, don't forget to tell people, it gets better. Always.
Thank you, Daniel Gray and Jack McEnroe, two of our favorite guests. So many amazing guests over the past 100 shows. Thrilled to have them all. All right, some more news, and then we're going to get straight to having Judy Shepard on This Show Is So Gay. The U.S. Department of Education has launched an effort. They launched it yesterday to outline educators' responsibilities in combating bullying and specifically informing that, in many cases, Title IX applies to and prohibits the harassment of LGBT kids if it is sexual in nature or based on gender nonconformity. This is such good news. The department's assistant secretary for civil rights, Ruslan Ali, and this was that quote, "A lot of bullying experienced by LGBT kids is accompanied by or in the form of sexual harassment or gender-based harassment because students are perceived as not conforming to traditional gender roles. We want to be sure that recipients understand that that kind of discrimination and harassment can very much be a violation of Title IX and federal civil rights laws," end quote. So there was a letter that was distributed to about 15,000 school districts across the country, plus colleges and universities that receive federal funding, which is, you know, most colleges and universities. And in that letter, it was said, quote, "Although Title IX does not prohibit discrimination based solely on sexual orientation, Title IX does protect all students, including lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender students from sex discrimination. The fact that the harassment includes anti-LGBT comments or is partly based on the target's actual or perceived sexual orientation does not relieve a school of its obligation under Title IX to investigate and remedy overlapping sexual harassment or gender-based harassment." This is good stuff. This is good stuff. We like when the Department of Education gets involved. What are you guys doing to help your local school districts? Are you doing stuff? You got to go over. We said this a few weeks ago. Go over to glisten.org, glisten.org, and you can order one of those safe school kits. And you can actually go in there. Sure, you can enter in, I don't remember how much it is, 20, 25 bucks, and buy a safe school kit and tell Glisten, hey, you guys send this wherever you want to send this. Or, and this is kind of the cool option, so do one of these things. Or you can enter in a zip code. It will populate your little computer screen with all the schools in that zip code, and you can send it to a specific school. So wherever you're living now, or what I'm hearing a lot of my colleagues, my friends doing, is they're entering in their high school, which is just so great. Because at this point, especially with the It Gets Better project, we're all kind of thinking about those of us who are, I know we have listeners who are still in high school, and we love you guys. But I also know we have a ton of listeners across this great nation of ours that are out of high school, just barely. We're all, everyone who listens to the show is really, you know, 19 at heart. And we're all kind of thinking about, all right, what were our high school experiences like? And I know a ton of folks are making these It Gets Better videos, and I still haven't done one. I'm not exactly sure what I would say, but I do want to make one at some point soon. But we're thinking about high school and what do we do? And a lot of us would love to go back to our high school and give a lecture. I actually did that once. It was quite incredible. And so this way, by sending a safe school kit to the high school that you went to, it's a great way, and you can include a message. It's a great, great way of making a difference in the place from which you have come. Very, very cool. So just giving you all sorts of advice here on the 100th. Did I mention that? The 100th episode of This Show Is So Gay. Please, please send me an email. I love your emails. Love your emails. Respond to every single one of them. This show is so gay at AOL.com, or stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com. And the most important thing is to stroll on over to iTunes and type in This Show Is So Gay. There's our rinky dinky little show here in Southern Vermont. You subscribe to it, you're going to hear a lot of cool stuff. You're going to hear a lot of cool stuff. All right. So I am going to play one more song, and then I think it's time to welcome Judy Shepherd to the show. What do you think? Gonna pretend like I can hear you. This is a song by Randy Driscoll called Love Is Love. Enjoy.
There's a wind that blows from here to South Dakota. There's a fire that whips right through the sky in old Santa Fe. There's a girl somewhere asleep in San Antonio. And a boy that feels it out in West L.A. There's a million voices singing by the river. There's 100 lovers dancing in the sand. There's a bridge that brings the two sides together. And a piece that paints the skyline of the land. Oh, the lights on the water. The tide. Of change around the seas. Oh, tell all your sons and daughters, no matter how you see it, what you see is love. Mother There's a fire in Tacoma and it burns to Tennessee. There's a girl tonight asleep in New York City. And the dream she dreams is love.
Time to welcome a very special guest. Very special guest, are you there?
I am.
Oh, that's a good thing. Let me introduce you. In October of 1998, Judy Shepherd lost her 21-year-old son, Matthew, to a murder motivated by anti-gay hate. Determined to prevent others from suffering their son's fate, Judy and her husband, Dennis, took action and established the Matthew Shepherd Foundation. Judy served as the foundation's first executive director from 1999 to 2009 and currently is the founding president of the foundation's board of directors. She travels across the country speaking to audiences about how they can change this world to make it a safer place for all its citizens. She authored the 2009 memoir, The Meaning of Matthew, exploring her family's journey through the prosecution of Matthew's assailants, the ensuing media coverage, and her amazing work to advance civil rights. She is an award-winning change agent and a true hero of mine. Judy Shepherd, welcome to this show, Is So Gay.
Thank you so much, Ken.
It's just lovely to have you on the show. Thank you so much for calling in.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
So I put out a call to our listeners to see what topics they wanted me to raise with you, and unsurprisingly, the number one topic was bullying. Some say there's a sharp rise in bullying. Some are saying there's a sharp rise in media's coverage of bullying. Some are not sure what to say. Judy, how do you wrap your mind around the state of affairs with bullying these days?
Well, I think there is a rise in both incidents and also coverage, national coverage. But I think what's also on the uptick is rhetoric. Our political leaders are, again, categorizing the gay community as second-class citizens. With the military issue, don't ask, don't tell,
right.
The kerfuffle over same-sex marriage in California, Prop 8, all the states that now have it, you know, issues trying to repeal it or states trying to prevent it from ever happening. And it's, we talk about that part of it a lot, which communicates to our kids and to other members of the community that being gay just really isn't equal. And
right.
I think all of those things are on the rise. And we also know statistically that anytime anything positive happens for the gay community, bullying and hate crime incidents go up.
Right. Well, now you issued a fantastic statement a few weeks back, and I want to quote from that statement real quick. You said, quote, "Quite simply, we are calling one more time for all Americans to stand up and speak out against taunting, invasion of privacy, violence, and discrimination against these youth by their peers, and asking everyone in a position of authority in their schools and communities to step forward and provide safe spaces and support services for LGBT youth or those who are simply targeted for discrimination because others assume they are gay." Judy, why do we think that that's not happening already?
Well, one of the most obvious reasons, in my opinion, is because there's no job security in over 30 states if you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, that many persons of authority are afraid to step forward for being targeted themselves. Job security is an issue, and in a public school system where we need someone to actually step in and, you know, protect these kids and give them mentorship and guidance, they're afraid to.
Yeah.
It's just as simple as that. Until we can actually guarantee that they can keep their jobs, you know, they're just not going to do it. A woman's afraid of having the spotlight turned on them or direction of discrimination or, you know, perception of sexuality. It's a key issue.
Oh my gosh, we have so many things to change, Judy.
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of work left to do.
Well, now can we talk a bit about the Matthew Shepard Foundation? For those who somehow don't know about the great work that you all do there, sing the praises of the Matthew Shepard Foundation for everybody.
Well, we are very small. We have 5 people working there, wonderful, brilliant young men with a very small budget, less than $1 million. And our focus is young people, teenagers primarily, I would guess between the ages of 12 and 20, who have questions and no place to go for answers.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a direct service provider. We are a resource, a watershed of information, if you will. And we concentrate on education and outreach, raising awareness, those kinds of things. But our presence mostly is probably known through the web because we are so small.
Right.
We have 2 websites, MatthewShepard.org, which talks about the organization itself, and then one called MatthewsPlace.com, which is the resource list. And we've just updated the site to be able to do video and uploads and interactive chats, conversations, share things that young people write and sit in. And not just young people, but op-eds who have opinions or information about the whole situation so that nobody feels alone.
Right.
You know, that's really a trigger, is when you feel like you're the only one out there going through this, especially if it's in a rural area.
Now give us the scoop. You handed over the reins last year. What was it like for you after 10 years helming this organization to hand it off to someone else?
You know, it was really great because I've known Jason for a long time, and he was actually a friend of Matt's, and he and his husband, Guy Padgett, had been very prominent in the gay community in Casper and in Wyoming in general, and they were ready to go to Denver. Guy went back to school, and Jason was ready for a new nonprofit challenge, and this, which is certainly what it's turned out to be for him. So, you know, it was great because there were day-to-day things that I just was really terrible at. I'm not a good detail person, and you say the word budget to me and my eyes glaze over. So it was really great to have somebody there who really, you know, really enjoys that kind of stuff and the details. And I travel so much, I just didn't have the time to do that, nor the desire, nor the talent. So Jason has just been a godsend to us to be able to pull all those bits together and, you know, just to get everybody on track and what we really need them to do to make the foundation a success. So it was a little bit like handing over your firstborn to school. Understanding that it was definitely the right thing to do, but still a little hard to let go of.
Right.
So it's really been wonderful.
But you're telling me you slept okay that night?
I slept wonderful.
Okay. I bet you did. Now you took, and we talk a lot on the show just about turning energy into action, and you obviously took tragedy and turned it into action, which is not the route that people are always able to do, to focus their energy in that way. How do you go about explaining to people how you were able to do that, how to create action from this?
Well, I think many people who say they couldn't do it would really be surprised if, you know, push comes to shove, that they could. I tell people this is not any kind of courage or bravery on my part. This is what happens when you piss off somebody's mom.
Right.
And it just, you know, it just seemed like the
yeah.
right thing to do. And not just for Matt, but for Matt's friends, his peers, anyone out there who questions that this was the, in any way, explainable or excusable what happened to Matt.
Right.
It's wrong. And it's happening still, to the same degree or a lesser degree or with a slight twist, but it's still going on. And I truly thought in the last 12 years things had gotten better, but in some instances and to some degree they have, but we still have the extreme end of things where for some reason people just don't regard the gay community as the same as them.
Right. Right. Now, on October 28th, 2009, just about a year ago, President Obama signed the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act into law. What was that day like for you?
Oh, it was a dream come true. We worked so hard with the Human Rights Campaign and the lobbyists and staffers, you know, and everybody in the White House and on the Hill to get this done. And we had really 8 very difficult years in the Bush administration, or it might have happened much sooner.
Right.
But that was a very, we just, you know, all progress pretty much stopped during the Bush administration. So we just had to be strategic in building up grassroots support and educating the country as a whole about gay rights, civil rights. To me, it's a civil rights issue. And to now have actual federal legislation that lists the gay community and gender identity as a protected class is huge. It's just absolutely bedrock for future legislation, which is really what we're all about. We know that the hate crime legislation is not going to stop anything. If laws stopped crime, then we wouldn't need prisons. But at least it sends a message of respect and an easier way to prosecute perpetrators.
And you mentioned it took 8 long years to get this passed. How did you keep yourself motivated? I think that we are living in this culture right now where we're looking for that gratification and I want to create change. Where's the change? I'm ready for the change. And yes. And you really had that patience and stuck it out. How did you stay motivated?
Well, I knew it was going to happen just because it's the right thing. And everything is going to be okay. It is. And it does require patience. We can't just demand that people on the Hill or even the White House, even though we know the current president is on our side, he can't do it by himself. We have to be educated voters to elect people to do what we want them to do, and that actually requires to know what it is they say they're going to do and to actually vote.
Right.
We can't just sit back and wait for everybody else to do it for us. We have to take action in the voting booth and elect the right people, and things will happen. Now, we know from experience in the 60s that the Civil Rights Movement, all that legislation, all those laws, and even changing hearts and minds didn't fix everything. Here we are, what, 50 years later, you know, still going through the same issues, only on a lesser degree, and I fear that's what's going to happen in the gay community as well. But we need to get those laws in place as a beginning, and it just requires us to understand the political system. It's a very unattractive, unpleasant place to be sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how it has to happen. We have to participate in the system, even as unattractive as it seems. We and slow and, you know, really difficult and sometimes illogical.
Right.
But we have to do it.
We have to, and we have to use our voice. And I want to talk to you about voice a little bit, because this quote was attributed to you on the internet, so you may or may not have said it, but I thought it was an interesting one. Quote, "We are trying to do what we think Matt would want us to do with this opportunity of having a voice. He's with me every day when I do this. I know it, or I couldn't do this because I'm a shy, private person." And you have been unbelievably upfront about being a shy and private person, but you're also someone who's out there using her voice. How do you go about reconciling those two things?
I don't know. I guess the message is more important than my own comfort level. I've gotten better at telling my story and being really forthright and straightforward about what it is we need to do, because it's so important. I have my moments of where I absolutely have to be alone in a room with the door shut to recover from, you know, all of that. I'm an introvert off the scale, and I just need to regroup. But it just, the message is just so important that we just have to get it done. And I've had a lot of help. The people of the Human Rights Campaign have just been absolutely invaluable to me.
Because I have to tell you, in 2002, and I think I've told our listeners this story before, but in 2002, I put together an event at Pace University to just feature you and have you come to Westchester, New York, and speak. And I gave your introduction, and gosh, it seems like yesterday, but I guess it was 8 years ago, and I was so nervous, and I'm probably doing some sort of revisionist history, but can't remember exactly what you said, but you just pulled me aside and said, "Don't worry, I'm just as nervous. Go out there and say the message." And it put me at ease, and it was an amazing event.
You know, it's I'm glad it helped you. I just feel like when I do those programs that I'm talking to my friends in my living room. It's my story, and they're all my opinions, and there's no, you know, that's just the way it is. It couldn't be any different. And the key is to breathe. Just keep breathing.
Keep breathing. Well, now, how much did you keep breathing as you were one of the grand marshals of the Heritage of Pride Parade in New York City?
Oh, it was so fun. Dennis and I had so much fun. It was a little hot.
Yeah.
So I knew it would be, and I have issues with sun because I'm so fair-skinned, but I bought this great hat in Lexington, Kentucky, a derby hat, and from the Kentucky Derby, those big, absolutely fabulous hats, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I wore it in the parade. We had so much fun.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know, I lived in New York City for 12 years. I never once went to the parade.
Well, that's what happens when you live. You think, I can always go later. I don't need to go today.
Okay, exactly. And then Judy Shepard's the Grand Marshal, and I missed the whole thing.
Yeah, no, it was way fun.
That's so fun. Oh, my gosh. Now, there was a period of time, and I think for some people, it still exists today, where there's this association between Wyoming and it not being a safe place to be. But you and Dennis, am I not wrong, are proud, what do we say, Wyomans?
Wyomingites.
I had no idea. Wyomingites. You two are proud Wyomingites, are you not? Now, I cannot promise you any residuals from the Wyoming Board of Tourism, but sell our listeners on Wyoming.
Well, it's wide open spaces. You can just see forever. We have Yellowstone National Park is in Wyoming. The Devil's Tower is in Wyoming. The Grand Tetons, skiing, hunting, fishing, camping, hiking. Nature at its best. The weather in the summer is lovely. The winter is a little challenging. There are never traffic jams or waiting lines for anything because nobody lives here. It's fabulous, and I would never leave. I love it here. My grandparents homesteaded here. It is not a place of hate. It's a place of, if I had to describe it politically, I would say more libertarian than anything else.
Okay.
People in Wyoming pretty much just want to be left alone to do their own thing. Voting, it's Republican. That wouldn't be me, but the majority is Republican voters. It is conservative, socially and fiscally, but it's rural. And our problem is we have absolutely no diversity here. And if you don't have it in your face all the time, you tend to forget how important it is and how lovely it is.
Right.
That's the challenging part. Now, are we any further behind in social issues than the rest of the country? I don't think so. Are we moving ahead any faster? No, we're not. It's pretty much an even keel with the rest of rural America. Now, metropolitan America is growing leaps and bounds in this regard of acceptance and embracing diversity and even celebrating it, but not rural America because they don't have it.
Right.
So I don't think Wyoming is any different in that regard. It is not a place of hate. Those two young men were anomalies in Laramie and in the state. They don't represent anybody here. You'll find them, those same two people, everywhere in the world, and there are still those kinds of people who live here, but those kinds of people live in West Hollywood. They live in
absolutely
Manhattan. They live everywhere.
They're here in Vermont. They're here in Vermont.
Exactly. And so I don't think it's any different. It's just, it's a little challenging. If, in my opinion, if Laramie had just owned what happened to Matt, instead of doing this revisionist kind of thing that's going on now, nobody would care. Nobody would ever think of Wyoming as being a hateful place. But, it's still continuing because some citizens in Laramie are in this phase of denial. But, it's really not any different. It's truly a beautiful, beautiful place.
But now, if they wanted to, the Wyoming Board of Tourism can cut a check to the Matthew Shepard Foundation, correct?
That is absolutely right, and so they should.
Now, I was on the Matthew Shepard Foundation website and looking at the staff and saw a picture of a smiling young lad named Logan working there at the foundation.
Right.
Do you know him?
Yes, I think I do. He's Matt's little brother.
Yeah.
He started working there about 5 years ago, I think, doing web stuff. Now he does, he handles press for me. And he does the marketing and the merchandising, which is just fabulous. You should go check it out. And then he just pretty much does what everybody else asks him to do. I'm not sure it's going to be his career because he's much like me, very much an introvert. He's a behind-the-scenes kind of person and not really an office-type personality. I don't know. So I don't know if that's going to be, his job, but it's definitely his passion.
That's fantastic. I don't know if I could work with my mom.
He is a little challenged by it. He doesn't really like calling me Judy or parceling out my time, but it's working. And Dennis also does. He's been working with the FBI in their education conferences about the hate crime bill. So it's a family, totally in physical presence, a family operation now.
That's just fantastic. That's fantastic. Now, I have to tell you, the one comment that really jumped out at me, because we put it out there on Facebook and the other mediums of what did people have to say, what questions did they have, and the one that came up that I had to tell you was a listener in Florida who wrote in and said, I don't have any questions for Judy, but if you could please tell her that for all of my dark times, I felt like that she was my mom and lifted me through them.
That's very sweet.
And I thought that was, you really are a mother figure to just countless youth, adults, people in this country who were struggling. And you really, your words have just made a tremendous difference.
Well, I feel very honored by that, that people would trust me enough to think that, you know, that that's, to tell me their stories and to share their deepest moments, and also understand that, you know, it's okay. It's not wrong. There are people out there who love you and are just waiting to accept you. My one piece of advice to all of your listeners is to please, please engage your allies to become activists and advocates for you, and to educate them, bring them in, ask them to help, give them the language, what to say, what not to say. Please, please educate us and ask us to help. We're just waiting for someone to ask us to help.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have to talk about music for a second, because we've been playing Randy Driscoll all show long. This song, What Matters, is unbelievable.
It's a beautiful song.
It's unbelievable.
It is. She wrote the song, and then all the proceeds from it go to the foundation.
Oh, great.
We play it every opportunity we get, because it is so, it encapsulates all the emotion of being, feeling and being society making you feel like you're different when you're just not. It's just the way you are, and that love is really the only thing that matters.
Oh, fantastic. No, it's lovely. It's lovely. I'm thrilled to be able to play it for everybody. Judy, what do you do to relax?
Well, I have a group of lady friends who play Mahjong when I'm in town.
That, which I just read a whole article last night how Mahjong is making a huge comeback.
I love it. I learned how to play when we were living in Saudi, and I found somebody in Casper, a friend of a friend. We started a Mahjong group, and we play it every opportunity we get. I love the movies, TV. When Dennis was still working overseas, TV was my life. You know, it was like all I had that was, plus I can do it by myself.
Right.
So it's really great. And I read a lot, and all things that I can do by myself. So.
Okay. All right. Well, Judy, I have to tell you, it's our 100th show. We've been thinking for months, well, who are we going to get for the 100th show? Do we want this person? And really the only name that I wanted for this 100th show was having you on the show. It's such a personal connection for me, obviously, having met you, but Matt was 3 months older than I am, and that was such a pivotal time for me in 1998, because that's when I came out. And so just having you on the show, it could not feel more right. I think that your message is the message that we all need to know, that we have to engage our allies, we have to use our voice, and I can't tell you how inspired I am by you.
I'm so honored to be invited to be the guest on your 100th show, and my deepest congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Now, where should everyone go to learn more about all the great things that you're doing?
MatthewShepherd.org and MatthewsPlace.com. It's a whole new place with all new stuff, and we've even started putting my engagements up. We didn't used to do that, but we started doing that now. So check it out.
And can we just end with, if you could just snap your fingers right now and create just some immediate change, Judy, what would everything look like right now? What is it that you want for us all?
You know, my deepest desire is, I don't want there to feel like there has to be separation. It just shouldn't matter who you love. We're all just human beings, same dreams, same aspirations. If everyone could just regard everyone in that way with an ultimate level of respect, that would just be the perfect world.
Oh, fantastic. Judy Shepherd, an absolute, absolute honor having you on the show. I'm so appreciative.
Thank you, Ken, so much.
All the best. I'm going to check out this whole Wyoming thing.
Okay, good. Come visit.
Okay, because now I've learned they're what are they again?
Wyomingites.
Wyomingites, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to invent something new for that. Judy, all the best to you and the family. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Ken.
Thanks, Judy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You were the brightest angel heaven had ever seen. You walked in with a story to tell, 10,000 tongues to scream. And you said, doesn't your heart beat the same as mine? Heaven, I told you a thousand times, isn't the air in my lungs the same air you breathe? So who cares whose arms I'm all wrapped up in? Who cares whose arms I see myself in?
This is Nathan Runkel, Executive Director of Mercy for Animals, wishing a happy 100th show to This Show Is So Gay. And remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Thank you, Nathan. Nathan Runkel, the first two-time guest we've ever had on This Show Is So Gay. That title, Nathan, will never be taken away from you. Right before that, we had Randy Driscoll singing a song called What Matters, which I have listened to so many times over the past couple days, I can't even tell you, and I'm sure I will listen to it tons more. And right before Randy Driscoll, Judy Shepherd, right there on the show. So fantastic. I think the quote that for the rest of my life, I will always remember from that interview, quote, "This is what happens when you piss off someone's mom." So good. She is so good. So inspiring. So a little bit more. Let me tell you this. Clint McCants thing. I had no idea that when I mentioned this on the show that this was like the story that's going on everywhere. On theadvocate.com right now, they have I think, three or four different stories just about Clint McCants. One is about, it's called Clint's Carpet Cleaning Conflict. Something about his carpet cleaning business has been hired by the schools, his board oversees, and that's some sort of conflict of interest. So that's kind of a big deal, I guess, in some way. And then there's this other story about how he's not making a statement, and he said to one reporter, quote, "I have family to consider." No one's really sure why he, you know, said that. The director of communications for the Arkansas Department of Education released this quote, quote, "The Arkansas Department of Education strongly condemns remarks or attitudes of this kind and are dismayed to see that a school board official would post something of this insensitive nature on a public forum like Facebook. Because Mr. McCants is an elected official, the department has no means of dealing with him directly. However, the department does have staff who investigate matters of bullying in schools, and we will monitor and quickly respond to any bullying of students that may occur because of this, as we have with other civil rights issues in the past. The department also has worked with the state's Office of the Attorney General during the month of October to provide training to counselors across the state regarding cyberbullying, sexting, and texting, which included a portion on how to watch for and deal with bullying of this kind," end quote. Apparently, there's really nothing that they can do with him because he has to commit some sort of felony. It says in Arkansas law, the only way to recall a school board member is over a felony or absentee issues. So if he keeps showing up, keeps saying anti-gay things, he's apparently staying on that school board. But again, he has a family to protect. So this Clint McCants thing, in, I think it was like 2 hours ago, I checked this Facebook page. It had 27,000 people. No joke. It's at 30,000 people right this very second. A couple hours later, another 3,000 people. So I guess we'll stay tuned to the Clint McCants drama unfolding. Another kind of great story out in Minnesota. A Minnesota school district that has been caught in an emotional debate about how it treats gay students after a teenager suicide earlier this year. They've now tweaked several policies this past week to clarify that the harassment or bullying of gay students will not be tolerated. The board of the Anoka Hennepin School District changed the anti-bullying and harassment policies to clearly list the protected classes, including race, color, creed, religion, national origin, sex, marital status, disability, age, poverty, and sexual orientation. This measure passed unanimously. Those classes, they were already covered by the district policies, but school officials decided that those policies weren't as clear as they could be because finding the list required that the reader look into another document, the Equal Educational Opportunity Policy. If you are somehow in touch, and I hope you are, with a school board in your area or in some other area called many school boards, make sure that they are protecting based on sexual orientation. Make sure that that's a protected class there. Make sure that they have education going on for bullying. Make sure that your school is doing something. The theme of this week's 100th show is all about youth and what we can do for youth. And of course, having now said that, I'm going to kind of break from what I promised, because I just have to tell you that this headline just popped up on my screen on theadvocate.com. This is the headline. I know it's not a youth bullying story. I know it's not how to make school safer, but I just want to put this out there. Quote, GOP candidate says gay marriage just like marrying a clock. Let me read that again. GOP candidate says, quote, gay marriage just like marrying a clock. And apparently, the Republican candidate for Wisconsin, Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish, compared same-sex marriage to a person marrying a clock or a table. A clock or a table. She said, quote, this is a slippery slope. In addition to that, at what point are we going to be okay marrying inanimate objects? Can I marry this table or this, you know, clock? And then, of course, sadly, she said, quote, can we marry dogs? Because apparently the order is, first you marry someone of the same sex, and then you marry the table and the clock, and then dogs are at the bottom of the list. Not good. Not good. But again, gay marriage, just like marrying a clock. This is, as you have heard all show long, the 100th This Show Is So Gay, and I just want to take a second and acknowledge all the people that contributed to making this happen. Of course, all the fantastic stations that broadcast This Show Is So Gay. We're thrilled to be all across this country and be reaching so many different folks who write in all the time at thisshowisogay@aol.com. I love hearing from you. Love hearing your guest ideas. If there's someone that you want on this show, we're not done. This isn't like the last show, 100 and we're done. No, we're going to keep going
fun with This Show Is So Gay. So if you have guest ideas, I would love to hear them. We will try our darndest to get that guest on the show. And of course, all the folks who have sat across from me all these many times that we've hosted here. And first and foremost is obviously Becca. Becca co-hosted for the vast majority of shows on This Show Is So Gay, and she contributed to making it what it is. And of course, Rich, who was, I think, my first guest co-host, and Carrie, and Jody, who's going to be back on next week, and Tanya, and my dad, who's called in. It is such an absolute pleasure getting on these airwaves every single Wednesday night and just talking about these things that are really important to me, that apparently are really important to you guys, because that's what it's all about. This is what Judy Shepherd is telling us. We must use our voice. You cannot create change by being silent. If you're not comfortable speaking, then you're going to write some letters. Then you're going to write some emails. You're going to organize some sort of activity to bring other people together. Bring someone, if you're not comfortable speaking, get someone who's really great at speaking. And if you organize that activity, you contributed to making that change. Please, please, if This Show Is So Gay is about anything, I love that you guys are listening, but after you're done listening, then go use your voice and do something. That is how we make a difference, and I want you guys to make a difference, just as we're trying to make a difference right here. So that wraps it up here for our 100th This Show Is So Gay. Thank you guys so, so much for listening. Tune in every week. We're going to keep going. We'll see you at the next 100th out at the, you know, the 200th show. So get out there, folks. Make some change. And remember, above all else, why be gay when you can be so gay? Thanks, guys.
One, two, three.
Well, I got money in the bank, and I got a car to drive, and I got a working set of hands that my guitar seems to like. So I got a love that won't quit, and I got time to rest, and I got a clear, able mind that sees my life going fine. Yeah, 'cause everything I need, it's right here in my hands, right here in my hands, right here in my hands. Everything I need is right here in my hands, right here in my hands, right here in my hands. Everything I need, 'cause I got a floor to dance on, and I got a phone to laugh in, and I got a tub to cry in, yeah, and I got a bed to hide in. Oh, 'cause sometimes I only see what's wrong, and sometimes I'm convinced my God has up and gone, and I'll never write a hit song. My love will leave me hanging. Yeah, but everything I need is right here in my hands, right here in my hands, right here in my hands. Everything I need is right here in my hands, right here in my hands, right here in my hands. Everything I need.